Obstacles to Sanctification, Part 2. In 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3, says this, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication." As we discovered in our last lesson, sanctification, last Wednesday, we find that sanctification is a process by which one who has been born again becomes more like our Lord and Savior, which is God's will for our lives. And having been born again, we are now involved in spiritual warfare that is every bit as real as physical warfare, and in some ways, perhaps even more real. We're going to look at a few verses, and hopefully you will get a better understanding of the reality of this spiritual warfare that we are now engaged in. Now that Satan has lost legal ownership of you, of me, he will now try to employ every strategy that he can to keep us from becoming Christ-like. And when we become more Christ-like, that is the sanctification process. And that's the purpose of sanctification, is to become more Christ-like. We're going to look at some steps to sanctification. One set of scriptures we're going to look at is in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. And this says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." The enemy knows that one can only become strong in the Lord and the power of his might as they spend time in the Word of God. And what I mean by this, I mean by reading the Word of God. Get you a version that is easily understood by you. Two, once you read the Word of God, think about what that you have read and understand its meaning to you. And it also will help you to memorize those scriptures that specifically speak to you. So that's spending time in the Word. Read it, think about what you've read, understand what it means to you, and memorize the scripture. Satan knows if you do these types of things, you're going to be strong in the Lord. What about you? Do you know that? That you'll become strong in the Lord? That's what this is all about, to help you to become strong in the Lord. It's part of the sanctification process. Number two here is spend time in prayer, in which you offer him, that's God, thanksgiving and praise for having saved you, and in expressing your desire to be like him, and in sharing with your Heavenly Father your spiritual and emotional needs. Number three, become consistently, actively involved with the local fellowship of believers. It's extremely important both for fellowship as well as for involvement in praise and worship and study of the Word of God. And I know that Satan, one of the things that he has done to try to prevent you from becoming strong in the Lord is that last one we just looked at, because of COVID and the fear that's been instilled in many hearts of believers, they have dropped out of becoming actively involved with the local fellowship. And it's very important that you have this fellowship. So there's three items here we need to look at to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. One, spending time in the Word. Two, spending time in the prayer. Three, being consistently involved with the local fellowship of believers. As we previously discovered, a stronghold is identified as any sinful habit, practice, or addiction that has a stronghold in the life. Look at this scripture, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Note once again that the believer is now involved in spiritual warfare. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4 tells us, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Let me ask you a question. Why would God tell us that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through him to pulling down strongholds. If we could not have a stronghold in our life, then why would God told us this to pull down these strongholds? Take note of this, that there is a weaponry system here, and they are not weak human weapons. But these weapons, they are mighty through God. They're made mighty through God to the pulling down of and destruction of those strongholds that were already in the life prior to salvation. When you got born again, when you become saved, if you had a stronghold of nicotine addiction, of sexual perversion, chances are those are still, the proclivity to do those are still in your life. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Note here that the battlefield is in the mind, the thought life, in order to gain control over the will of the believer. That's where the battle's at. That's where Satan will attack it, trying to gain control over the will of you. And he does this through the thought life by suggestions to your mind. These strongholds can only be destroyed by, one, recognizing, acknowledging the existence of these strongholds in the life. So how do you do this? Get you a pencil and piece of paper. Make sure you write these steps down. You got to recognize the acknowledging the existence of strongholds in your life. And the way you do that is you make a list of strongholds in your life, which only you will ever see unless you choose to reveal it or discuss it with someone else. Then you confess each stronghold as sin. Then prayerfully take back all the ground that has been given to Satan by having committed that specific sin. Number four, prayerfully in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, tear down the stronghold, calling each stronghold by name. Number five, in prayer, give all the ground previously given to Satan by that sin in the life back to the Lord Jesus Christ for him to use in your life as a child of God. Note, this is not a one-time exercise, but one that you continue doing on a somewhat consistent basis until you know you have victory in that area of your life. So I'll go over these again, but I want you to understand that these strongholds can only be destroyed by, one, recognizing, acknowledging the existence of the stronghold in the life. Make a list of the stronghold in your life, which only you will see unless you choose to reveal it to someone else. So, how do you know it's a stronghold? Here's where we're going to start getting to the meat of the issue here. Any sin, as you start writing down this list, and you find that as the Holy Spirit brings to you, to your mind, a certain sin, write it down. Maybe it's a sin of lying. Maybe a sin of lust. It may be a sin of fornication. It may be a sin of adultery. And you say, wait a minute, Pastor Gene, what do you mean adultery? I've never committed adultery, or I never will. Don't be so quick. Don't be so quick. Let me show you some scripture. Did you know that in Matthew chapter 5, verse 28, this is Jesus speaking. I'm going to start in verse 27, Matthew chapter 5. You've heard that it was said by them of old, thou shalt not commit adultery. Verse 28, but I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. So, brother, sister, if you've looked upon a man or a woman and started lusting after her, then you've committed adultery. Write it down as sin. Though you may never even committed the physical act, you've committed adultery by lusting after someone else in your heart, and that's sin.
call it what it is.
So as you're making this list, you're going to find some sins are more prevalent, more prominent, more often than any other. That, my folks, is a stronghold in the life. It may be lying. It may be cheating. It may be stealing. It may be lust. It may be perversion. It may be adultery. It may be fornication. It may be masturbation. It may be sodomy, homosexuality. You have to look at that, and you have to write it down. Well, you don't have to, but if you want to be free and set free of the stronghold, you need to identify what that stronghold in the life is. And this is the procedure I'm giving you to identify what is that stronghold in my life. So that, number one, was recognizing and acknowledging the existence of this stronghold. Not only do you recognize it, but you acknowledge, yes, Lord, that's in my life. How ugly, how nasty it may be, it's in my life. And I'm a Christian. And you may not understand why it is that you're so driven to commit that same sin over and over and over again. Chances are, if you were able to look at your bloodline, you would find that somewhere in your bloodline, your mother, your father, your uncle, somewhere, your grandmother, your grandfather, they committed those same sins and had that same proclivity. So it gets passed on through the bloodline. When you commit that first sin that was passed on through the bloodline like that, then you've opened yourself up. You've opened a door up for Satan to allow his unclean spirits to operate in your life in those areas. So you recognize your sin, number one. Or you recognize the existence of these strongholds in your life. Number two, confess each stronghold of sin. And you may be committing a sin that society tells you it's not sin. That's where you have to go on what the Word of God says. Maybe you have strong feelings or emotions in an area of your life. We have to go by what the Word of God says, not on our feelings or our emotions. So that step two is confess the stronghold individually as sin. Step three was prayerfully take back all the ground that has been given to Satan by having committed that specific sin. So how do you do that? Well, you confess the sin, call it sin what it is, and then ask the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive you for committing that sin, and then take back the ground that you allowed Satan to have when you committed that sin. In the name of Jesus Christ, I take back all the ground that I allowed you to have when I committed the sin of lust. And in the name of Jesus Christ, Satan, I take back all of that ground. And Holy Spirit, I give you back that ground in the name of Jesus Christ. And prayerfully, number four, in the name of Jesus Christ, tear down the stronghold, calling it for what it is. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the stronghold of lust to leave this temple, and I cast you out, thou stronghold of lust, in the name of Jesus Christ. And you go on, continue on. Each stronghold, you do that. And number five, in prayer, give all the ground previously given to Satan by that sin in your life back to the Lord Jesus Christ for him to use in your life as a child of God. It may go something like this. Lord Jesus, I give you back all the ground that I gave Satan when I committed the sin of lust. And I give you back that ground, Lord Jesus, for you use in my life as a child of God. That is ground, folks. When I say take back the ground, those are areas in your life where you voluntarily committed sin and allowed Satan to legally take control of those grounds in your life. So you're taking them back. And like I said earlier, this is not a one-time shot, folks. The thoughts you need to take captive as soon as they're coming across in your mind, if they're not from God, you're in a battle. It's a battlefield. Now with those thoughts in mind of what we just discussed, let's look at some more scriptures. Let us look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 tells us this. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Holy Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. This verse clearly teaches us that we have been picked out. We have been chosen, chosen of God, according to the foreknowledge of God, that we would be willing to be born again. And having been born again, we are now in the process of sanctification. That simply means that God, our Heavenly Father, is at work in our life by His Holy Spirit to conform you, to conform me, to the image or the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. His goal for your life now is that you should glorify the Lord Jesus Christ in a life of submission and surrender to His Lordship in your life. And as you submit and surrender to His Lordship, the Holy Spirit will lead us, will anoint us, will equip us, and empower us to live a life of submission and surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, it's imperative that we yield to His holy influence and His leadership in our life in obedience to His word and His leadership. Let's look at another scripture. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. That is 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. God's word tells us to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So this verse teaches us that the believer, that's us, the believer, that we are to study the word of God diligently in order to better understand the heart and mind of God. The believer needs to do this in obedience to our Heavenly Father so that we can better become increasingly better equipped to witness and to work for our Heavenly Father as we increasingly better understand the Word of God. Let's look at Psalms 119, verse 11. Psalms 119, verse 11. It says, Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee. This verse reminds us that we need not only to read the Word of God, to study the Word of God, but also to memorize portions of the Scripture to strengthen our spirit, our soul, our body, in our walk with the Lord. And it is as we hide the Word of God in our hearts that we are better equipped not only to withstand the attacks of Satan against ourselves and our loved ones, but to be a better witness, counsel, and pray for others who need our counsel and our prayers. Let's look at Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Luke chapter 18, verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. In Luke 18, verses 1 through 8, Jesus teaches us the importance of a persistent, ongoing prayer life. We have seen how essential that knowing the Word of God is in our life as a believer. Now we are seeing that prayer is likewise essential. Persistent prayer, especially prayers based on the Word of God, will always be heard in heaven and answered in God's ways, in God's timing. We are not to grow weary in our study of the Word of God or in our prayer life. Let each of us learn a valuable lesson concerning prayer from this illustration taught by our Lord in Luke 18, verses 1 through 8. So let's look at that. Jesus speaking here, Luke 18, verses 1 through 8. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint, saying, There was in a city a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded him. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith. Verse 7, And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? So learn a valuable lesson here concerning prayer from this illustration taught by our Lord Jesus Christ concerning this woman who was persistent. Let's look at another scripture, Philippians 4, verse 6. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. This verse teaches us that we are not to be concerned, anxious, or worried over the affairs of life, but rather to take everything to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Worry and anxiety can be symptoms of lack of faith, of doubt and unbelief. No problem is too great, nor is any problem too small for our Heavenly Father's concern and consideration. In short, get to know the Word of God. Yield yourself to discipleship and live a life saturated with the Word of God and with prayer. And you are in a position, when you do that, to live a life of joy, peace, victory, power, and freedom. Hallelujah. Glory be to God forever and ever and ever. So you understand now why it's so important to follow those steps to tearing down these strongholds, that you may have victory over every area of your life. So strongholds, they are not developed in the life as a result of sin being committed only once. Strongholds are not developed in the life as a result of sin being committed only once, but by the same specific sin being committed over and over and over again. Therefore, it is necessary to continue to attack the stronghold through prayer, through resistance, to every suggestion of the mind that Satan will come against you to sin again and again and again. And you have to continue the attack against that until you know you have victory in your life in that area. You can have victory, and you will have victory, as you continue to allow the Holy Spirit to empower you through time in the Word, through daily prayer, and as you submit to the Lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, who has met and conquered every enemy of your soul. Praises be to God. Hallelujah. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Folks, these obstacles that Satan is going to throw at you to try to prevent you to becoming sanctified, the enemy is going to try to keep you from spending time in the Word by whatever means he can, especially by trying to keep you so busy or so tired that you don't have time on a daily basis to feed your soul the Word of God. So, may I make a suggestion to you? Make a list of ways or means by which you think the enemy will try to keep you out of the Word, because he's going to try to resist you by any means so he can retain any stronghold that may be in your life. Well, folks, I hope this study has helped you understand that, yes, Christians can have strongholds in their life, and they may be the remnants of sin that was in the life prior to the conversion experience or prior to you becoming born again. But from this study, you have learned how to tear down those strongholds, how to recognize the strongholds. And the more you know about the Word of God, the more you know what God calls sin. And I know, and you know, we're living in a society in today's time and culture that refuses to acknowledge and call lifestyles that are sinful. They refuse to call sin, sin. That's why it's so important that you know what the Word of God says, that you know what the Word of God says. And keep that Word of God close to your heart. Read that Word of God, because there's strength there. And you will know what God calls sin, not what man says is sin. Because in the day we're living in, and the life of this nation is eat up with sin. Not only is their government system causing people to sin against God, against holy God, but they pass laws making it legal to openly sin and embrace the sin. Child of God, do not fall into the deceptive trap of ongoing sin in your life, but get in the Word of God and understand what these strongholds are in your life. You've been taught how to do that. Go out and live it. Well, until we meet again, we're going to continue on this road to sanctification. Next week, it's going to be sanctification part 3. So you hang in there, hang tough, keep the battle going. Until we meet again, this is Pastor Gene Howard saying, God bless you real good. Good night.